Hello, this is Cherie McConnell, and I am the founder and president of the National Association of Women Writers and also the Association of Web Entrepreneurs. And today we are talking with Dotsie Briegel, who is the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. And we're going to be talking about starting and running an association, her background and skills, and just really the benefits of creating your own association. Because really what I would like for you to get out of all of these different calls that you're going to be listening to is there's a lots of different ways to be successful with these organizations, but I really want you to see the power of owning your own association and what that does for you. So first of all, Dotsie, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Sure, I'm happy to be here.
What I'd like to do is just tell them a little bit about you, make sure they know your website so they can come visit you, and then I'll just dive right into some questions.
Sure.
Okay, so first of all, Dotsie is at www.boomerwomenspeak.com, and then she has two sites, and then her other site for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women is at www.nabbw.com. And I should say the boomerwomenspeak.com website is the number one site on all search engines for baby boomer women. That's very exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dotsie is a writer, a speaker, and she's an expert on all issues concerning her generation of women. She's also on the editorial board for Me Magazine. She's very passionate. I've known her for a while. She's one of the first members to join NAWW way back when it started. And she's very passionate about giving women a voice and empowering women at midlife. She believes in sharing her stories, which allows opportunities for healing. And she believes healing occurs when women connect, when they encourage, and when they support one another in life. And I find that to be so true, too. You've been mentioned in Time Magazine and AARP Bulletin. Among dozens of other newspapers across the nation, Dotsie frequently does radio interviews, and she's been interviewed for several publications. She was also invited to appear in the outside audience of the early show CBS with Dave Price, and she's also helped connect women for a segment of the NBC Nightly News. And that's all very exciting. And we'll get into how long you've been around, but that's a lot to accomplish in a short time. She lives in Baltimore, Maryland with her husband and her three children. And is it okay if I go ahead and give them your contact information?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, her email is dots, D-O-T-S, at boomerwomenspeak.com, or you can call her toll-free at 1-877-B-BOOMER. And I love your phone number because I've had to call you numerous times today, and it was really easy for me to remember it, so that's awesome.
The only thing is that, you know, as boomers, our eyes are aging, and people have a hard time finding the digits. So.
Because they're so small. That's true. Oh, how funny. The irony. How funny. Okay, so first of all, I'm just going to dive right in, and they're going to be surprised when they hear one of my questions is, when did you start? And they're going to hear, how much you've done in such a short time. But first of all, why did you start the National Association of Baby Boomer Women?
Well, the reason I started is because I had launched the website, boomerwomenspeak.com, and it had been online for about 2 years and was really moving up the search engines, and I realized I was onto something, that boomer women are interested in connecting, encouraging, and supporting one another. So I just was being creative and trying to figure out, you know, where I could take it, and I decided that boomer women needed an association to call their own. So that's where the idea came from. I figured if the other website was successful, then there was a need for an association.
And a great place to network and community. And we'll get into the leverage that you're able to do for these women by forming this group in a little while. But there's something that you can do when you form an association that you can really serve these people much better. So where are you located at on the web? I mentioned that, but let's go ahead and do that again.
Okay, it's boomerwomenspeak.com, and women is plural.
Okay.
And then the other one is www.nabbw.com.
Okay, and that's for the association?
Yeah.
Okay, and so when did you start this up?
Well, the association actually I launched just a little over a year ago. I had the idea probably a year before that, so I spent a lot of time researching, for months, almost a year.
Okay, so pulling all of that together, and we'll get into that.
Sure.
And then your other site, the Boomer Women Speak, when did you launch that one?
That's been online for 4 years.
Okay.
It was just 4 years in October 31st, Halloween.
Isn't that wild? So what, I mean, certainly a lot of the experience from having a website already on the Internet made you feel more confident about going into this new venture?
Sure, because actually it's interesting. I, at one point, not too many years ago, didn't know a heck of a lot about being online and websites and surfing, et cetera. And I took a simple course at a local community college, which is like the computer 101 class, and I learned so much. I was really intimidated because I took it with a friend, but I was really intimidated because all the kids in the class, it was their easiest class the whole semester. And my friend and I were like in the lab forever trying to figure out, you know, how to use Excel and all of that. But I was so glad I did. And then, you know, that gave me confidence to launch the first site. And then, of course, after having that online, I had more confidence to launch another one.
You do have to know, I mean, to really automate things, you definitely have to know your technology unless you're going to pay people for it. And it's hard to pay for everything in startup. I mean, just the nature of startup itself, you're usually trying to put a lot of your budget towards marketing. So, yeah, whatever you can learn to build your skill set, that's so smart. So what form, with associations, I get this question a lot. And people come at me with nonprofit questions and all that. So what form of business is your association?
It's a sole proprietorship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then why did you choose this form? Is it something that you had talked to other organizations, you know, did some research, you have certain reasons you didn't do it one way or?
Sure. Basically, I spoke with our accountant, our personal accountant, because I wanted to know, you know, how and if it would affect our other finances. But I also took advantage of the Small Business Administration locally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they had some great information. I attended some classes that they had at the local library about starting businesses. And then I also met one-on-one with one of their advisors. And I've got to tell you, it is an amazing service, and it's free. And I just don't think enough people take advantage of it.
I don't think they do either.
Yeah.
That's one of as I'm doing these interviews, I'm going to be, you know, I really want to see how many people, I'm curious to know how many people have accessed those services, because it's all about gathering information in the beginning, and you will save yourself so much time and energy. You know, I actually interviewed my CPA and then a corporate attorney when I mm-hmm. decided to be a nonprofit. And even with all of their advice, what I, you know, and I had talked to lots of people who had run nonprofits and were, and I put those people aside and listened more to my CPA and this corporate lawyer who did all the formation for me. And what I came to recognize is they had never run a nonprofit from day to day. And so you really should talk to the people actually doing it, which is really the purpose of this program. You can go and pick out some really, you know, people you think are giving you the best advice, but really when it comes down to it, they practice law every day. They do CPA work every day. And then the person, you know, so they know about it, but have they actually done it? And so that, I think, is really important for a lot of people, and that's one goal with all these interviews is to really get the firsthand experience of what it's like to run an association every day.
Sure, and if you use the Small Business Administration, all of those people have been working with them for years. A lot of them are retired business people, and they just offer excellent advice.
Okay, I appreciate that. And do you remember their website? Is it SBA.com?
It could be .gov.
.gov. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but if you Google Small Business Administration, yeah, and then, of course, there's always local branches.
Correct, and you'll find them really easy.
Right.
Okay, and so then I think you own your association, or do you have a partner with it? Or
no, it's just me.
Okay. You own your own association?
Yeah.
And that's the same here with me. I mean, technically, my husband would be my partner, but he doesn't do enough, so I'm not calling him a partner. I can get him to, you know, do things here and there, you know, when I have a big conference or something. But, you know, bless his little heart, he's just not as dynamic as I am about this stuff. So do you operate out of your home, or do you have an outside office for the association?
I absolutely operate outside of my home, and I love it. And that was one of the things when I launched the Boomer Women Speak site. At that time, I had three teenagers living at home, and I wanted to be here for them. And then I also wanted, I was preparing for my empty nest. So now actually all three of them are in college, and I have a great home office, and I just love it.
Well, and I'm the same way here. And what I found probably when I started back in 2001, and let me know how you feel since you were starting your other website about then. When I first started, I didn't really volunteer that I worked at home, when I first got out there, because I had come with my own views of real businesses. And so I didn't, tell everybody that this was operated out of my home. But what I've found out over the years after doing, 60, 70 different teleseminars, and I network with online entrepreneurs almost every day, that we are all working out of our home. There are so many people working out of their home now. It's not a stigmatism like it used to be.
Yeah, I agree. Because I know myself, like if the mailman comes, our dog goes wild. So if she's barking and I'm on the phone, I just say, I'm sorry. I work from a home office, and everyone always says, so do I. Don't you love it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, even though it comes with that, I mean, isn't it great to be able, to get your alarm installed the same day that you don't have to take off work all day to do it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you can get the laundry done. And, I mean, there are so many benefits.
The population, that's definitely really important for your group that you serve. But for me, too, for women, women with kids, women who have sick kids, when I worked in the corporate world, it is hard to balance it all, but definitely am I able to do things and be there for my kids more, so much more. So, it just doesn't compare. And the fact that I can make a lot more than I ever made in the corporate world is just awesome, too. So,
sure.
So it's just really amazing the choices that we have that we didn't have, a decade ago.
Right.
So let's see, how did you choose your niche? And this was, you talked a little bit about that, but...
Well, actually, what happened was I was in a valley in my life when I launched Boomer, right before launching Boomer Women Speak. I had just lost my mom, and then I had the emptiness kind of staring me in the face. So I was very prayerful about what the Lord was calling me to do. And at the time, I was reading a book, since I had a teenage daughter, that gave teenage girls a voice, and I just have always been into connecting women and, say, oh, you need to meet this person. You need always just been like a woman's woman and trying, always networking and that type of thing. And I just decided I wanted to give my generation of women a voice. And that's why the first site was launched.
And that's awesome. I remember meeting you, when did we meet? Probably 2002, at least?
Yeah, probably at your convention, right? Or your conference.
Correct.
Right.
And I remember just being so impressed with everything you did back then, and that was way ahead of the amazing stuff that you've done since then. And you've always done it with such quality, too. That's what you're going to find out when you get to her website. You've been you didn't cut any corners, and you didn't just throw things up on the Internet. You really did research. You're big on research, and just having known you for so long now. And you do quality, and I think that makes a huge difference in the impression you're giving your customers.
Well, thank you. I do. I really try because I just don't want anything to be, halfway done. I'm kind of a perfectionist, and it's happy to, I'm happy to hear that it shows in the website.
Oh, it does, and it showed even way back then when you had shirts and all these different things when you were just, beginning to work with that market, which kind of leads into my next question. Has your niche or your target market changed since you first started the association? And yours is a little over a year old, so it might not have done that yet. But
it really hasn't changed. I would have to say the thing that's interesting is that when I launched Boomer Women Speak, I was looking for stories written by women. So actually that's how I think we met, because I used your member directory
Correct.
To contact a lot of people and say, would you be interested in writing? And so there are a lot of writers on that Boomer Women Speak site because that's who, was attracted in the beginning. But then, for the association, of course, I've just focused on baby boomer women. And what I do is educate the whole woman. So we do things that pertain to a woman in business, and then we also do share information that pertains to the whole woman, meaning, you know, who they are at home and how they are physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So, my market has really stayed the same.
Okay. And the reason that I asked that question is my market actually completely changed. It did stay with women writers over, and I'm, with this one, I'm talking about the National Association of Women Writers. But it really changed the type of woman writer that I market to and that I serve now is completely different than the ones I served back then. And a lot of that's driven by the price difference in,
sure.
in what I charge, but also the kind of people I bring in, the people I interview, the experts and different things like that. So a lot of your choices in your products and services really dictate, you know, it goes back and forth. You know, it dictates who you're serving, but also who you're serving should dictate what you're offering.
Right.
So did you pay anyone, and that we are actually already talked about the SBA, but did you pay anyone to help you start the membership organization?
Well, basically the person I really paid, the only person I paid is a webmaster.
Okay.
And she, you know, created the logo, and she's very creative. So she's not just a webmaster, but she's also a designer. And so she created the logo and then also, you know, put up the site. And then since then, I've had two databases built, one for each website, but we might talk about that later. But basically, she's the only person that I paid.
Okay. And so it's really, I mean, I think that's great information because what I've found with Internet has really evolved again in the last 5 years because there are so many of us out here now doing these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the last year, there are so many websites like memberclicks.com. I have a couple more in my email that serve just membership organizations that are complete platforms for people to run membership-based organizations. And what you'll find with the coaching industry is a lot of the coaching programs that all these different professionals are doing across the board in every, you know, financial niche to the health niches, all those different things, they all have coaching programs which are membership-based. So it's just exploded. You know, the things that weren't even there a year ago are there today. And it has just made it so easy. I'm getting to a point, actually. It's made it so easy for us to do what we need to do in a systematic way. And pay very little people because you can just pay this one service that has it all built up already.
Right.
So it's really exciting. And you talked a little bit about this too. How did you choose your membership benefits? Did you do focus groups, online research, or did it come from your other website?
Well, one of the things that came from the other website is that I have forums on the other site, and there's like over 60 forums. And they're all topics that pertain to baby boomer women. So what I do is I look at our forums that were the busiest, and, of course, that dictated which ones, you know, what the topics are that are of most importance to baby boomer women. And so I chose topics, and then I just got busy doing a lot of research, trying to find a woman in each area of expertise that was interested in educating other women just for the good of women, and they either have their own website about the topic or they've written a book, you know, so that's pretty much what I based it on. And I have to say that every woman I contacted, you know what it's like when you, if you can read a book or if you can go online and learn about someone, you can learn everything online these days just like Googling. Every person I called except one. So it is with the association. There was one woman in general, one woman who basically wanted to know, you know, what's in it for me and, you know, what am I going to make and that type of thing. And everybody else had the same spirit that I had. And that was to just use the information we have to serve other women. So that was just really exciting. But I did. I really, like, camped out at the library and in bookstores and online. And just kept going and going and just taking tons of notes and really sorting through, you know, different people. And if I read a bio and I thought, I don't think this one will work, then I, you know, cross them off the list. So I did, you know, started with topics and went from there.
Okay. And I mean, I think that's really important. So you did all your research online. Mm-hmm. Some of it probably came from physical events you've been to that mm-hmm. you had somehow connected with them and had them in your database or something.
Right.
So I guess it's important, and let me know if you agree with me, that you really had been attending events and networking for years at that point, correct?
Yeah, and I network locally too. You know, and another thing that I did that I think is really, really important is I researched associations online, especially associations for women, and I printed all their benefit packages, and I highlighted, you know, the things that I thought would work for my association. And I looked at what they were charging and what they were offering, and I just you can just learn so much. You can learn so much, but I spent a lot of time doing that type of research.
Well, and I mean, it's so easy to research with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially, what you have when you go to any website, and I can pull up any website, you can figure out how they make money.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't see where they're making money, which probably means they're not making any.
Mm-hmm.
But their business plans, essentially everybody's business plan is on their website. You know, their product offerings, their strengths, their weaknesses, it's all right there.
Right.
You can't hide that when you have a website. You can hide it when you're using a brochure, a physical brochure. You can hide it behind a storefront.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't hide that when you get to a website. And so it's amazing what we can do from, you know, nothing can hold us back like it did 10 years ago.
Right, and you know, that's another reason that I really tried to encourage women to use a web designer and not to use, you know, these free websites that you can get and that will only take you so far and then you end up having to change domain names. And I really just think that you should, if your heart's in it and you know you really want to do it, then you need to have a very professional website. And in order to do that, you need someone who is familiar with, you know, how to drive people to your site and what people are looking for and what words to put on the homepage. And there's just so much that has to do with e-commerce that you have to be aware of when you're launching an e-business. So
it's such wonderful advice. I coach a lot of women. I do coach some men, but really what comes up a lot of time is I'm helping them change their mindsets about investing in their businesses. A lot of men got basic business degrees out there, and a lot of us women didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of are ahead of the game in the understanding that you have to invest to grow, that, you know, successful businesses always has debt. And these are, like, things that I wasn't even aware of until I started seeking ways to financially run a successful organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was a mindset thing. I had to start playing in a bigger group of people that wasn't like anything I'd ever networked with before.
Right.
Because I couldn't change my mindset around the same people I'd always been around. So it's really huge when you change these mindsets. It's eye-opening. And we may get into some of that on this call, but we'll definitely have a lot of that kind of discussion in the manual. So that kind of leads into how did you decide on your pricing structure, that same type of research?
Yeah, same thing. I just looked at what other people were offering and what they were charging.
And then, so what is your pricing structure for the National Association?
For the National Association, it's $75 to join.
Okay. And then right now are you offering, actually I'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
How do you generate new leads for the association?
I am a networker by nature.
Okay.
So I work online all day, and I get a lot of people who sign up for the newsletter, and so I correspond with them, and of course offer, you know, the opportunity to join the association over and over again. But I get new leads. I do Google Ads, and I have found that that's been successful. It brings a lot of people to the site that are not your ordinary people. I mean, I get people from a lot of calls from a lot of journalists, and that's how I've been in, you know, so many different newspapers across the nation. I get calls from television stations, just anybody and everybody that goes online and Googles baby boomer women. Fortunately, I'm in the first spot. But even if they Google baby boomers, you know, I have a long list of keywords that I use for my Google ads, so I get a lot of leads through that. And then another thing that I use that's interesting, well, I use PR Web to do different announcements through that. And
How often do you use them?
I need to do them more often.
Trying to do monthly.
Yeah.
There's always something going on.
Right.
It's not hard to do. So I've actually finally delegated that because I just don't get to it.
Right.
And so someone else is going to write those up and do all that for me now, and I'm just going to approve it. So yippee.
Yeah, that sounds good, and that's a great idea. And that's something that's on my list because I have a virtual assistant who is doing more and more all the time, and she's just such a blessing. But
you know what? And I think if it's something you don't want to do, they're going to do it better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do it for whatever reason. I don't enjoy doing that. I have all this other fun stuff I'd rather do.
Right.
So I end up like moving it on my Outlook. You know, oh, I'll do it next week. You know, and
yes, oh, I do the same thing. I don't use Outlook, but I do the same thing. I, you know, cross everything off and then I move it to the next week. I'm like, oh.
Well, and it's because, you know, I mean, I have so many leads coming in on these other ways that are easier for me. So what do you tend to do? You do your favorite lead generators and you really just stick with those.
Right.
But, you know, I know, you know, just from experience, you always need to be doing new things. Need to be trying them out. I'm looking at doing more direct mail with these new card systems that are out there that are automated, along with email. So there's just, you know, you always need to be on the edge, and that's what's so great about, honestly, operating in the sole proprietorship versus a nonprofit form, because you can be on top of your marketing, and you,
right.
You couldn't do that in the other form. But
well, you know, one other thing I want to mention, too, that is an unusual way to get leads, and I can tell you that it's worked well for me, is Google Alerts.
Okay.
And I use them. I use them for, you know, I picked keywords, and, of course, one is baby boomers and baby boomer women. And what happens is anytime anything goes online that has to do with baby boomer or baby boomer women, I get a notice in my mailbox. And it can become obnoxious because what's happened is so many people have blogs now. And so instead of just getting things that are in newspapers and on different television websites, you get all the extra stuff that's from Blogspot. But what I've done is when I receive those alerts, I start to read them and then I either delete them or keep going. But I am partnering with the Women's Congress, which is going to be in March 2007 in Boston. And it's a convention for women who are 35 and older business women, and I'm partnering with them, and it all came from a Google alert. I read about that, you know, they had done something, I think it was through PR Web, and I read about it and just clicked on the link that took me to their site, and then I just emailed them and said, I just learned about you, let me tell you about, you know, what I'm doing, and from there, you know, it took off. So that's just one example of how using that can work.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really glad you mentioned that because that's something that I use Google Alerts really just to keep up with what's going on with my associations.
Right,
we have
right.
lots of regional reps and different things, so I like to know, you know, when we're mentioned on the Internet.
Sure.
And then also with my own name.
Yes.
That way I know how much of my articles are going all over the place. So that's an awesome way to use that, and I can't believe I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, you should probably do women writers.
Exactly.
Like I do, actually, I did women writers for a while, but I'm not using that Google Alert anymore. But I also have my name in there, and I also have the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and Boomer Women Speak, so that when things are published online, because people don't always tell you when they're using their articles. They don't tell you when they're, you know, copying an interview or whatever. And so that way, I learn where I'm being mentioned on the web, and then I can include it on my media list on my site, which is, I think, really important.
I think so, too. That's a wonderful way to use it, and I'm going to implement that myself. So, you know, the power of just listening to this call, that right there is huge, because that will bring you partnerships that really, essentially, it's doing the research for you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you can set it up so that you get them, like, once a day, or you can set them up that they come, you know, whenever they go online. But
now, are you using a free service or a paid service?
No, it's free. Okay. Absolutely free.
So they have a, you know, how you can upgrade it.
Right. But now mine, I just use the free service, and it's been helpful. The other thing I do is, like, it just depends how much time I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a lot of them from people who have blogs. And the blogs are about the baby boomer generation. So I just send them a quick email. I have a letter, you know, that I pull out of my Outlook Express and send it to them saying, you know, just that I see that you have a blog and you're interested in baby boomer issues, and might you be interested in joining the National Association of Baby Boomer Women? So it's just another way to get the word out.
It is, and what I'll say is that I did that same type of thing a lot in the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I found, and those are my, I don't know the kind of hours you put in, but I put in about 10, at least 10 hours a day there for a while, mm-hmm. at least a couple of years, and a lot of it was because I love startup phases. You know, now that I'm running the Association of Web Entrepreneurs, I've learned a lot about my own nature.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the excitement of startups, so I love that energy. And so I love the whole being an entrepreneur. But are you putting in those kind of hours? Because I did a lot of the, you know, really connecting to people at physical events,
mm-hmm.
a lot more than I do now.
Well, I actually have a virtual assistant who is taking a lot of the work off my hand, also the webmaster, and then I also have a couple women who are doing reviews for me. So I'm getting to do some of the stuff that I like to do. And some of the things that I do best, and then I feel like my virtual assistant and my webmaster, they are doing what they do best. So it works well.
And that's the best way to start it out, instead of, you know, getting to the point where you're like ready to quit and you're burned out, which is more of what I did. So you've gone right to what, you know, when I coach people now, it's all about delegating, and you can make so much more money if you automate all this and delegate, you know, things, because then you have time to develop more products. So you do have a virtual assistant and a web person, and they're probably both, you know, considered contractors, not employees, correct?
Right. And, you know, of course, they're not in my office. One lives in Alabama, Georgia Richardson, who is Queen Jaw Jaw. And, you know, she's a writer. She has her own site, and she recently retired and was looking for work, and it was just like a miracle, because we met through my site, and we've just been corresponding, and she's been in my forums, and I just adore her, and it just evolved, and it's just been, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
It's very funny. I remember her being a part of the Queen something or other site. I don't even think that site's around anymore. I can't remember it.
I know which one you're talking about, and yeah, I think it fell through too, but her site is still up and going, and she's still writing and, you know, making everybody laugh. I call her the Queen of Boomer Humor.
She's very funny. She's going to like that we talked about her today. Okay. So let me see. And then your web person, how did you find them?
Through a friend. I found her through a friend, and she's local, so we get together occasionally, but most of the time, we just correspond online.
Okay. And so as far as how did you choose your team, it was really networking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then we talked about what your team does. Now, what do you believe your main roles, and we talked about, you know, that you're delegating so much. So really with this question, you know, what do you believe your role is with this association? And in the beginning, you're wearing lots of the different.
Right. I'm still wearing a lot of hats. But basically, you know, I see myself as the leader, but I'm what I want to be is the person who is, I obviously want to be the contact person and the one who does the marketing and really, you know, gets out into the different magazines and on different television shows. And I just want to be the face of the association.
Okay. And that's really important. I mean, my goal with that question was really to try to figure out if most of these presidents and founders feel like they are the ones that represent their organizations the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that's, you know, they're the ones that have that passion for it. When you start something up, that whole grassroots type of thing, you usually care about it more than anybody else does, and nobody can market it better.
Right.
So you really are kind of balancing that with delegating, too. So I tend to, like, not hand off my customer service, which is probably one of the biggest things I should hand off, but I have this way that I love doing it, so it's really hard to hand that off. I've automated a lot, and I delete a lot more than I used to. One of the things, I don't know, you said you used Outlook Express?
Yes.
I use Microsoft Outlook, and I'm not sure how those differ. But one thing that I found that's really helped me, because I get lots of advertising inquiries, membership benefit questions, mm-hmm. you know, those repetitive questions.
Right.
In your email under New, you know how you have a signature in there?
Right.
Well, you can right-click on your signature, and you can save, like, 10 different signatures. And if you right-click on it, you can just select different ones. So I have a whole... That has saved me. I mean, 10 times a day at least, I do a right-click and just send a signature for advertising, and it says, check out advertising rates here, you know, and it has all of our information. But so there are little templates that are in the email signature function in Microsoft Outlook, you know, and, I mean, things like that, it's automating. And I'm not paying anyone to do that. It's really simple to send an email real quick and just, you know, reply.
Okay, so I see that. Now, and that becomes the body of the email?
That's the whole email. You can put whatever you want in a signature. I have a graphic there. I have all of the normal signature stuff with the website and the blog and my name, email and all that. And then depending on what it is, and, you know, if you're running more than one organization, and this that we are going to talk about technology, so we'll just go ahead and do that now. But if you're running more than one organization like I am, Microsoft Outlook is awesome for the fact that all my websites can, all the email can come to this one box.
Right. That's what I do. I do the same thing.
And so there I have the need for different signatures in that way. I have one just for the Association of Web Entrepreneurs. I have one that just says staff, because a lot of the time I don't want people to have my personal information. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want them to contact me as much as I'd rather them kind of have to go through a velvet rope policy.
Sure.
I have an advertising one. I have one that is asking my editor to post this to the blog, because I do that all day long.
Right.
I have one that has both associations in it, because sometimes I'm approaching new people and I want them to know about both associations. Mm-hmm. And then I have the membership benefits. And so I have the links built in.
Okay, you know, and each one is a different letter, basically.
It is. So like I have like 15 of those. When I right-click and you just go right on top of your signature, you open a new email, mm-hmm. and then you have one signature already in there. And then you do a right-click on it, and you'll get all the different signatures that you've created.
And I wonder how I would find that in Outlook Express. What is that called?
Tools.
Signatures? Oh, tools. Oh, I see what you mean. Go to the tools button.
Uh-huh. Tools. Mm-hmm. Options. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the right place, and it may be.
And then probably signatures, right?
You know what? Let me look. I went in the email itself, but it's tools and then options and then mail setup.
Oh, mail setup. Okay.
Well, mine says mail setup. Mm-hmm. You know, let me look. Okay, it's mail format.
Mail format, okay.
And then there's signatures right there.
Okay, all right, I'll look at that.
And then you can just do as many as you want, and then those are all there when you right-click. Anyway, that saves me so
much. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
Awesome?
Yeah.
So the other thing that saves me a lot of time, and it's with the new Internet Explorer 7, is you can, you know how you used to could save a home page?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can save as many pages as you want, and so when you hit Internet Explorer, it will launch as many different pages as you want in the tab format across the top. So for me, I check the bank every day. I go to Constant Contact every day. I'm in my cart solutions every day. I'm on both websites usually every day. You know,
right.
So it's just those automatically launch, and mm-hmm. you don't have to type anything in. So anyway, okay, so now we're kind of out of the realm, but I think that's useful and helpful information.
Sure.
Okay, so let me, we already talked about delegating. Now, do you have regular conferences, teleconferences with the people you delegate with?
No, I do not. The women who do book reviews for me, as soon as one's finished, I basically just stick another one in the mail and send them a check, and then with the webmaster and virtual assistant, I pretty much correspond online, and then when we need to touch base by phone, we do. Like this morning, I just had a little conference with my virtual assistant, just because we felt like it was easier to talk by phone than to just keep emailing back and forth. But basically, I mean, I correspond with them all day.
So you do all your delegation via email most of the time?
Most of the time.
Okay. And I just started this year having weekly meetings mm-hmm. With the person, just to kind of touch base, just to make sure. It keeps me accountable, too. To keep mm-hmm. flowing stuff to her. So I may be doing it more for me than her. I don't know.
Right.
Okay, and let's see. So what technologies, and I kind of want to spend some time on this, because this is where I end up coaching people a lot. So I'm really trying to really get this. This is really good information for anybody who is going to listen to these CDs. This is the stuff that is going to help them, quite honestly, make money, mm-hmm. Is, you know, how you're using your technology. How do you utilize it to run your association? So
sure.
I kind of want to know the different programs that you're using and, you know, what you found helpful, and have you had to change things, that kind of
Sure. Let's see. I use a lot of the basic ones, like Audio Acrobat for recording teleseminars. I use Constant Contact for corresponding. Even though I have a database, I've kept Constant Contact because I like it. And
I do too.
The database that I have can't produce the same types of newsletters. So I actually got some money back from the woman who designed the web because she wasn't as happy with the newsletter function either. So anyway, I also use Constant Contact. I use Outlook Express for mail. I use QuickBooks. And then the other thing that I use is Authorize.net. And that's how I have payment set up.
That's like merchant account.
Pardon me?
That's for your merchant account, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So you don't use, at this time, you don't use any kind of, and maybe your website has this function, and digital delivery or autoresponders or affiliate program module?
No.
Okay. And do you think you might plan on using that in the future?
Autoresponder, absolutely. And actually, I have that through Constant Contact, right?
You have one autoresponder, which is your welcome email, and some other emails, like if they unsubscribe and subscribe,
right.
Different things.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Cherie. I'm confused. I have autoresponders through my
website
database. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
nothing
so basically
bigger.
When somebody, signs up for the association or fills out a form for the newsletter or submits books or whatever it is that they do through the site, they automatically get information from us.
So you can use autoresponders through that system.
Yeah.
And the reason, of course, that I'm bringing that up is because if your website doesn't have a lot of those technologies, there is a system out there that I refer everybody to, and it's listed on both of our websites. But over at naww.org, it's on the resources page. And what it is it's called Practice Pay Solutions, and it's a full system that lets you put your products in, lets you connect those products to an autoresponder, lets you run an affiliate program, lets you do newsletters if you choose to, lets you do everything you need to do to run an online business. And what's great about it, for instance, we just started a woman's quote of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing 365 little series of quotes, and I'm just doing them up about 20 at a time. Very, very easy. But the beauty of that is that from now on, people will sign up for that at any given time. How awesome is it that I'm going to end up in someone's inbox 365 days a year?
Right.
And I see all of them when they subscribe. Half of the people that have signed up for that are new people that are not already in my database. That's huge.
Right. That's great.
So if you can do something like that in your own business, that's how powerful these autoresponders are.
Right.
In generating new leads, but also automating. I would never do that if it was up for me to do it.
Oh, my gosh, that would take forever.
Yeah, and so, I am having to set it up one time. I could pass this off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of having fun picking the quotes out and procrastinating, so there you go. but the beauty of it is I only set this up one time.
Right.
And then from now on next year, it'll be the same 365 quotes. And I think that's plenty of quotes that someone won't mind if they're getting them again.
Right.
After the series ends, I'll have to keep figuring out if I want to keep adding forever and ever how I'm going to do that. But anyway, so automating and all the different systems, and were there any other systems that you're using that you can think of?
Well, Authorize.net I did mention, but it's worth mentioning again. People should definitely look at that as far as taking credit cards online. It's a wonderful system.
That's what I use also.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
But what it Authorize.net is technically the merchant account that works with Practice Pay Solutions.
Okay.
So they're like the background money thing.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it works with the Practice Pay Solutions, and it all connects together. And I don't know if your system has the ability. What also is wonderful about Practice Pay Solutions is those product links, you can copy those in the emails.
Right.
Okay, and so a lot of the time people will don't want to go look for it. And the more you do for your customers, the easier you make it for them. Sometimes the faster they spend their money because they get too busy and they don't go to the website. But if they email you and say, I can't find the link, and you send it back to them, they'll do it immediately. So being able to copy those links, I think, is a good thing, too, your product
sure.
links. Okay, and so we talked about, as far as outsourcing, you outsourced web design.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you print all your marketing materials?
That's at home. I have a great printer, and I just do it at home.
Okay.
However, I do have bookmarks and I have business cards that I have my webmaster. She okay. has a source that she uses.
Okay, and I use Vistaprint.com or Vistaprint.com. I also have a color laser printer that I do a lot on. And then another resource that I like to share with people is MI Mimeo. And I may be saying it wrong, but they do, I'm going to start outsourcing the binders there.
Mm-hmm.
I've printed a few things there, and I've really liked it. And you can just assemble your binder right there, and then they drop ship and everything. It's really neat. So as far as, you know, what's your normal day look like? Your normal productive day, because I have many that aren't productive.
Oh, sure. I would have to say first it's email. I always check email first. And then after that, I mean, a lot of what I do is taken from my email and the correspondence that I get. So I spend a lot of time corresponding, just responding to emails. And that's actually a good thing because it's usually new contacts. And people asking questions and that type of thing. So I do that. I also have to use time to post in my forums because I go in the forums daily, pretty much daily. And so I spend some time doing that. And then I also spend a lot of time researching. I do a lot of planning for the association and getting people to like be the featured author, or I do monthly teleseminars, so corresponding with people and to line up who's going to be doing the teleseminars monthly. It's a lot of organization.
So it sounds like most of, if you had to lump it into general categories, a lot of marketing,
mm-hmm.
A lot of fulfilling the services that you offer,
mm-hmm.
And not so much on product development yet.
No, not yet, but I'm getting there in January.
And that, I mean, for an organization that's a year and a half, you know, I totally am impressed with so much you've done. So I'm just kind of like breaking that down for people so they can see where their growth is in comparison to you and where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have physical chapters or national events?
I really don't, but I plan on, like, at this Women's Congress in Boston,
mm-hmm.
I'm really going to market it to my association, and I have the opportunity to have a room there for, like, 1 hour for me to meet with the women from the association. And then there's another convention that I'm working with, or conference for women, actually baby boomer women, and there's going to be 4 throughout the country this following year, and I'm definitely going to 2 of them. So I'm going to use those as opportunity to network with members from the association and get as many of my members involved as possible.
Okay, I think that's awesome. So you're always thinking ahead.
I can't think about doing my own conference right now. It's just, I'm just so busy.
Well, and you know I have opinions on conferences versus,
right.
You know, there's so much work, and when you bring in that catering and you bring in, you know, people having to fly across the country,
mm-hmm.
There's so much more you can do on the internet with, like, teleconferences. I do telesummits. And so there's definitely a more profitable business model to run an association. All of that's going to be in the manual also. So there's a lot to it. But there's definitely, you know, I know the eWomen's Network. I'm not sure if you're familiar
with
it.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Very, very successful. And
mm-hmm.
we started actually at the same time in 2001. And their main business model is their physical events.
Right.
So you can certainly do it different ways. I think it's different depending on the type of market you serve.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a business women's organization, you're really able to get some really good sponsors. And you being in the boomer market, I would think that you'd be open to a lot of that too. With the writing market, I found that a little bit more difficult to get American Express to jump in.
Right.
So it really depends on your market. I'm excited with the Association of Web Entrepreneurs because I think that's really opened up to a lot more sponsorship over there.
Right.
The next question, do you use a formal business plan? And did you do that with the SBA? Or?
No, you know what? I don't. And that's really one of my downfalls and something that I need to change. And I'm corresponding with someone right now that's going to help me with that.
Okay. One of the things that we will include in this manual is different business plans that you can use, and there's a one-page version
mm-hmm.
So that it's not intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is less formal, but it's definitely, it says business plan on the front, but it's more of like, you know, what it is, it's product listing and service listings and, you know, my vision for the year, and it's lots of financial goals.
Right, and I do have that, and that's something I do a lot of journaling and, you know, and list making and that type of thing. So I definitely have a lot in my mind and on paper, but I have no formal, nothing formal.
So it would be an informal business plan, though, because what my guess is that you're probably doing it, you just haven't formalized it into that document, unless you're going to a bank for a loan, which is totally, you know, something that you might choose to do if you're running an association, and I'll talk about different financial ways to grow a business also, not in this call, but within the manual. There are different ways to do these startups. So you can borrow money, you can, you know, do a lot of different things to finance this new business. And so you really don't need the formal business plan, but you do definitely need to be doing that homework in it in some form, just like you said.
Right.
And so let's see. The next question, and really this is to give people an idea of where your association is do you generate six figures yet?
I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. Not through the association. It's just a year old.
Correct.
But I have high hopes.
Well, and let's see. And then another thing that this is one of those mindset things that I had never even heard this phrase until a couple of years ago. Do you have any type of exit strategy in place yet?
You know what? I don't, but I do.
Isn't it hard to think of that?
It is, but I have been made to think of that because I know a woman that I network with locally who has another website, and she is very big on that. So she introduced me to it, and I'm just like, oh, my gracious.
It's like, I don't want to think of that. I'm starting.
Yeah, but it's wise. It's very wise.
Well, the way that it was given to me as a reason that you want to think about where you eventually want to end up in all this, and I kind of have a 10-year plan for myself, but if you think about your end, then it's easier to fill in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you kind of think about where you want to see this at the end of it, and, you know, when you pass it on or you sell it, then it's easier for you to think what you got to do to accomplish that.
Right.
And to dream big and all of that, but I had never even heard the phrase before. I started networking with and thinking with a different group of people. Okay, so I'd like to get a little bit into your background and your skills,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of let people know, you know, what kind of different skill sets that the women who are out there running these organizations have. So what's your professional background?
It's management and retail management. And one of the things that I really like to share is that I stayed home with my kids and was a stay-at-home mom. And I know there are a lot of people who won't stay home because they're afraid they're brains will turn to mush, but I took my job as a stay-at-home mom very seriously, and I became very involved in neighborhoods, schools, church communities, etc., and, you know, served on committees and did quite a bit so that I actually learned a lot, you know, from doing that, just starting different groups at church, and I chaired a committee for Baltimore County to provide skate parks for our youth, and that was huge. I was working with the local government, and they did indeed put in 3 skate parks. But it was a great learning process, and so a lot of what I did while I was staying home really and truly prepared me for what I'm doing now.
I totally agree. I remember when I first became to be on the board of the PTA, which I'm not anymore, but when they were younger, just the way that you run a PTA.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, oh, so that's how it works. You know, here I am running an organization and startup, and I did not even have these basic little skills down yet because I just hadn't done that yet. So I think that's a really good point that you can combine your learning with what you're doing with your kids.
Yeah, and I absolutely believe that everything that has happened in our lives before is definitely, it has happened for a reason, and that when you decide what you're going to do with your passion, you'll realize, if it's really your passion, that what you've done in the past has been a stepping stone towards what you're going to do with your future.
I totally agree. I totally, and I think that's what gives each organization its life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about email marketing, because you can really develop a relationship a lot easier. There's no way to do that at a large physical conference. I can't develop a relationship with each of you.
Right.
You can't even get to know me, but every week in an email, if I share something with you, I can get to know all of you at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not reciprocal you know, I mean, you get to know me, but I don't get to know you unless I'm coaching you or something. But so it's really neat the things you can do on the internet like that. So what do you think the single most important characteristic of an association founder or president is at this point?
Actually, I think, you know, of course, being organized and is important, but I also think communication is very important, whether it's with your employees or with your customers, whoever it is, communication, I think, is very important. So I think you need to be a good communicator. You have to be organized, be able to multitask, and, you know, it's important with the communication is the networking. Just being a networker by nature, I think, is really beneficial.
You know, and that's really important because certainly if you're not a natural networker, why would you want to build a network?
Right.
So you may not be the best person to do that, so it's a really important part to bring up. Do you find, probably you find that you're the only person who's going to have all the visions? Nobody has an investment in this as much as you do?
I think that's true. However, I think that my virtual assistant and my web designer, I really believe, have the best interest, you know, the best interest in heart for the association. I really do, and I have gotten some great ideas from them.
So maybe because it's a passionate type thing, maybe that they have such passion about the target market and generally what you're doing, that's why they kind of, they have, you know, vision for your organization also.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think it works that way.
I feel the same way with my person that I work with. She does a little bit of everything, so I don't know exactly what to call her anymore. Used to be just editing, but she does a lot more than that now. But she runs the women's, the Women's Business Gallery. And so she certainly has a lot of excitement and vision about all of this, too, and she loves working on my stuff with me because, you know, it's all research and it's all her passions, too. So maybe there's something, too, when we're picking our team, you know, making sure we pick other passionate people because that seems to have worked really well for both of us.
Yeah, I have to agree. Absolutely, okay. I definitely think so.
I mean, I think even my transcriber is passionate.
That's great.
She really is. She's always, like, responding and talking about what she learned in the transcript, and she has her own website, and she's doing phenomenal things. So that's really neat. I'm glad we stumbled upon that.
Good.
I kind of want to skip talking about your strengths and weaknesses and really talk about the benefits. We're at about an hour right now.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yep. I have about 10 more minutes because I have another interview in a half an hour.
Okay. So let's go on for about 10 minutes then. So what are some of the benefits that you've seen of owning an association, your favorite benefits so far, the leverage that this association, being the person, I'm going to kind of lump three questions into one, you know, being the person that is the gatekeeper of your database, you know, what has that done for you as far as being able to create partnerships or get people to sign on in the membership benefits?
I guess, you know, so much of this is about building platform. And when you have an association, you kind of have an immediate platform. I mean, you know, it helps when people join, but basically it definitely raises your platform. And in that regard, it makes you an expert in your area, and I think that's huge. I mean, I had the Boomer Women Speak site before, and that was helpful, you know, as far as having a platform and that type of thing. But then to launch the association kicked it up a huge notch.
So you do find that just having a website on something, but then having, this is what I think is so huge about this entire product, but then being the founder and the president of your own association, that was a totally different experience when you wrote people and asked for things or for partnerships?
I guess it has, and it's not anything that I feel heady about by any means. It's, you know, when you're just kind of doing what you love and loving what you do, you know, I hear like founder and president, and I think, oh my gosh, yeah, I guess I am. You know, but when you're doing what you love, I think it shows, and it makes you more attractive to other people.
I agree totally. I mean, and the reason that I bring that up is because what I have found is that I'm able to write someone off, you know, who's been on Oprah. I'm able to attract people to the association on the behalf of my members who want access to these people, And that they'll say yes. And they normally would not do that if I were just, you know, a person with a writing website.
Right, exactly.
And again, it's nothing that I even see as a heady thing at all. I
right.
see it as leverage that mm-hmm. you are the gatekeeper of this network. And, people want to network with networks. It's more efficient. So that was probably the hugest thing is what I'm able to do for the association. And probably one of the biggest roles is, you know, for me with the Association of Web Entrepreneurs, too, is really figuring out what my target market needs and then going and getting that and the leverage I have to do that.
Right.
So do you think when you, you know, have contacted people and they saw that, especially with publicity, that's another one. Well, do you think it's easier for you to get publicity or PR because you're an association versus...
I do, and the other thing that I think that has helped me is the fact that my site, the Boomer Women Speak site, is the number one site for quote-unquote baby boomer women on all search engines, and that is just something that happened from working the web and listening to my webmaster, and so that is another thing that has given me leverage in addition to the association, but the association, I agree, Cherie, it's like... When you found an association on a certain topic, you become the expert.
Even if you're still faking it until you make it, not
yeah, fake it until you make it. Absolutely.
I definitely was doing that in the early years. I just learned how to do conferences. You know, I mean, I think we're alike in that we love research and mm-hmm. love research. It's a little bit easier if you hate it. I don't know how you would get all that done, but yeah. I totally agree, and it's really great to be an expert while you're learning.
Yeah.
Because it's easier. I mean, and also the name. If you think of all these companies' names that you don't know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
This is essentially when you have an association of something. Your company name does so much marketing for you. People know what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to educate them to, you know, for instance, Verizon Wireless. You know, or I remember the other name because I used to work there, Primeco. What is Primeco? You know,
right.
Maybe that's why they changed it. But so with our names and our logos, it's the marketing. There's so much marketing done for us that packs more power for our marketing dollars, too. So so I'm trying to think if there's anything I left out so we can kind of end up, you know, along with we talked about, we kind of skipped a little bit on the services and the products.
Mm-hmm.
But you had been mentioning that all the way through. Is there anything we left out that we didn't talk about as far as services or products that you're offering?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, actually, one thing that I should mention is that I offer advertising on the Boomer Women Speak
that's
site.
That's what think of that. That's what it was.
Yeah, and that's actually very big. And then I also offer advertising in our newsletter, but the Boomer Women Speak site, we have advertising on our homepage and on inside pages, and we have 4 featured ads on the homepage, and they sell very quickly. But if you have a product or a website or a book or a service for baby boomer women, it's an excellent place to advertise.
So, and just to kind of give, you know, people listening to this an idea of, you know, how different websites make money, so that with the Boomer Women Speak, that's probably one of the main ways you make money.
It is. That's the revenue for that site.
And then with your association, you make that through the membership dues.
Right.
Correct. Okay. And then over, you know, just to kind of give everyone different examples, and we've talked about this before when we've talked offline, that, you know, with the National Association of Women Writers and with the Association of Web Entrepreneurs, it's more dues and products.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't concentrate on advertising. And so there's different ways to be successful, and that's really what I try to get people to understand. There's lots of definite things that we all have to do. You know, there's definite systems we have to plug in, definite skill sets we have to have. But then past that, there are different business models for your business, and what I would like to tell people is to do what you're comfortable with. Do what's working for you, and if things aren't working, then you definitely need to change.
Right, and I would have to say, in line with that, like people have said, oh, you know, I want to advertise on the association site,
mm-hmm.
and you have to do what you're comfortable with. I'm not comfortable doing that because basically the Boomer Women Speak site is the one that gets the most hits, and to me, it's
right.
worth their dollar to advertise on that site as opposed, and then, you know, maybe, I don't think I'm going to ever do advertising on the association site, but But it, you know, why say, oh, sure, you know, we can do that when it's not the site that is really the one that would be.
They're getting more for their dollar over
right.
the other one.
And
then
right.
you're going to have more return advertisers, so it's just smart.
Right.
You know, if they're not happy with what they get, they're not going to come back and advertise again.
Yeah, so you have to do what you're comfortable with.
Correct. And so I love to bring that up. And that actually, I had thought of advertising when you were talking and then forgot why I was asking. So let everybody on the call know that, you know, that's the other thing about running your own business at home. And, I mean, I love the fact that I don't have to be perfect, that I'm connecting with all these people, that I can be sincere and genuine, and that we can do things we have integrity about. I know when I worked in the corporate world, I got frustrated a lot. And so, I mean, and I've heard you talk about that over and over today, that you like doing things a certain way. And it really is, you know, this association as the founder, it's all about your vision. It's huge when you think about it. You know, you have certain, I mean, if you could put it to paper today, you have a certain steps of integrity that you are going to keep this association aligned to. And I can tell that by talking to you.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's really cool to see the vision. One last question, because I know you have to go. What has really surprised you about owning your association so far?
I would have to say that when people work for other people, they seem to be more unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that having this association, I found that not only am I happy, but whenever I contact people for the association, or for the Boomer Women Speak site, that people are generally good people, and that, you know, being in business is a lot of fun, and I really have not found women who are cutthroat business owners. So I would have to say, you know, being in the corporate world, it's a whole other story than working for yourself and having your own association, because I think that who you are is projected into the people that you communicate with. And then, you know, if you're happy, then I think the majority of the people that you correspond with are also happy.
I totally agree. I mean, and you get to, you know, wearing the hat as the founder. People, you know, again, it's that leverage. People want to talk to you. They're excited. I mean, I feel funny sometimes when people go, oh, my gosh, the founder called me back. And it's like, you know, they do that all the time, and it's not – you know, and that's what I really want to do with this product is I really, and I say this all the time in coaching, I want people to think big for themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what you had to do. You had to wrap your mind around the fact that you wanted to be in that seat, you know, to run an entire organization from the ground up. So it's very exciting. Thank you so much, Dotsy, for doing this. I know that you've got to go. But if you have any kind of points you'd like to add, definitely send emails and I can add them on in the transcript form or something like that if you think of something later.
Okay, sure. All right. Thanks so much for the interview. It was a lot of fun. I mean, here again, we're having a good time doing what
exactly.
we do.
Exactly. And it's fun. I mean, the people you get to connect with, just to be able to connect with you, another person who runs an association. Again, this is leverage. I mean, it's an example of leverage right now that we can connect with each other like this.
Right. But so I appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.